Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin, coming your way. And hey, folks, it is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. And we are now just what? Let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just 4 days away from the start of Michigan State football. That's right, Michigan State football will return to your life this Saturday as the Spartans are getting ready, getting prepared to play Rutgers to open up the season. And, you know, this morning, it really for me hit me that, wow, Spartan football is going to be back in our lives in a matter of days come this weekend. Because Mel Tucker held his first game week press conference. And, you know, he spoke to all of us media members courtesy of Zoom. And, you know, questions were fired at him, and he talked about his emotions heading into this first game as the head man in charge of MSU football, and just how different of a year this is, and how he didn't expect, of course, his first season at the helm to yield this kind of craziness, to be honest with you guys. And then he touched upon the depth chart and whether or not he was going to release a depth chart and who is the starting quarterback going to be and what has the preparation been like as far as trying to simulate game day conditions. He touched on a variety of things. And, folks, we are going to bring that press conference to you all in a matter of minutes. All right? So you get a chance to hear what Mel Tucker had to say. He was asked many questions during his press conference, which began on Zoom at 11 a.m. So that is going to be the foundational interview, if you will, the foundational topic of today's Current Sports. So you don't want to miss that. But we also have our quick hit headliners coming your way. And if you're wondering, I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. After what happened on Monday Night Football last night, it was a complete embarrassment by my Dallas Cowboys, losing to a team that actually the Detroit Lions beat. How about that? We are worse than the Detroit Lions right now, folks. My Dallas Cowboys fell hard last night to the Arizona Cardinals, but thank the football gods, because we play in the worst division in all of pro football. We play in the NFC East, where there's really no competition. Eagles, sorry. The Washington football team, really bad. The New York Giants, come on, man. And then you have us. And we are sitting atop the NFC East with just two wins on the year. Oh, boy, pretty wild stuff. Pretty wild stuff. So even though we did lose last night in the fashion that we did, I am still pleased, I guess, that we are still in first place in our division. So, yeah, but I'm doing all right. We got a lot of updates to bring to you guys, though. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, with Big Ten football kicking off this weekend. You know, I'm asking you all out there in radio land, what are your thoughts, you know, heading into this weekend? What are your thoughts on the Big Ten Conference? Who is your Big Ten favorite? You know, who can – I think everybody is looking at Ohio State, right? Ohio State is that team, and then there's everybody else. But is there a team out there that you're pegging that could really give Ohio State a run for its money this season within the conference? And it's such a different year. You know, you don't have – you know, non-conference games to open up. You know, you're getting right into conference play, getting right into the thick of things. And, you know, as I've stated, for Michigan State, you know, they open up the year against the Big Ten bottom barrel in Rutgers. And, you know, which is why Michigan State is favored by double digits heading into this game. But I just want to know your thoughts on the Big Ten Conference, and what are your thoughts and predictions on what this season for your Michigan State football team will yield? Do you see the Spartans coming up big this year and challenging for a Big Ten title? I mean, that would be – I mean, that's a pipe dream, right, when you talk about Mel Tucker entering his first year with so many question marks surrounding this Spartan team. But do you see four wins? Do you see five wins? What are your thoughts? So call in 517-355-WKAR. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start here. We got some unfortunate news concerning two Michigan State football players. You know, you don't want to have a storyline like this to enter game week, but, you know, we have this story. Michigan State football linebackers Luke Fulton and Charles Willekes have been suspended indefinitely going into game week following their arrest last month stemming from an incident at a fraternity house. So an MSU spokesperson confirmed their suspensions on Monday. Fulton was charged with aggravated assault in an incident on September 8th in East Lansing. He posted a $1,000 personal bond. The Spartans were in strength and conditioning training at that point after the Big Ten postponed the season. There is no recent online court record for Willekes from September 8th. However, Steve Gonzalez, who is the deputy chief of East Lansing's police department, he confirmed that Willekes was arrested, but his record is in a non-public status with 54B District Court. So the two have not been participating in practices with the Spartans since they resumed back on September 16th. And an MSU spokesman said in a statement, quote, Luke Fulton and Charles Willekes were suspended from all team activities effective immediately and remain suspended from the program indefinitely. Also, Mel Tucker was asked by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press about the status of those two, and Mel Tucker just went on to say that, hey, yeah, we just released a statement already. We acted quickly and swiftly concerning those two players. They are not participating with the team, and we're moving on. So there you have that. All right, to some Michigan football news, as Jim Harbaugh, he held his press conference yesterday virtually. Excuse me. Michigan football has yet to officially announce team captains for the 2020 season, but Coach Jim Harbaugh, he leaked the news himself on Monday night during his weekly appearance on Inside Michigan Football, that radio show with John Jansen. Now, according to Harbaugh, there are seven captains: defensive tackle Carlo Kemp, defensive end Quiddy Page, defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, linebacker Josh Ross, fullback Ben Mason, tight end Nick Eubanks, and center Andrew Bastardis. It's the most captains Michigan has ever had under Jim Harbaugh. There were two between 2015 and 2017, four in 2018, and three in 2019. So we're talking about seven for this year. There are three fifth-year seniors in Kemp, Eubanks, and Bastardis. two seniors in Pay and Mason, and one redshirt junior in Ross, and also one junior in Hutchinson. So it's a lot of leadership. I guess, you know, in a crazy and different year, you do need a lot of leadership in order to make sure that your team is staying together like glue, because there are so many distractions here in 2020. So, hey, I'm not mad at that. Also want to note concerning Michigan football that Nico Collins, his Michigan football career appears to be officially over. The star receiver in Collins was no longer listed on the Wolverines roster on Monday morning. With the team's season opener at Minnesota less than now 1 week away this weekend, and Jim Harbaugh says that he is no longer on the team. This is what Harbaugh said on Monday, quote, "Nico is not participating in football right now. I don't have a crystal ball as to if his mind would change or not. I know he's currently on the team." He's currently not on the team, excuse me. Collins has yet to comment on his status after signing with an agent during the Big Ten's COVID-19 shutdown, and the program had no comment on his removal from the roster. But his removal seems like a clear indication that Michigan will have to move forward without its top offensive player. So Nico Collins being gone, that is certainly going to be a blow to that Michigan offense. Also, as I noted, Monday Night Football, my Dallas Cowboys fell hard at the hands of the Arizona Cardinals. They were completely embarrassed at home in Arlington, Texas, at Jerry World. 38-10 was the final. The Cowboys, we scored, 3 points in the second quarter, had one touchdown late in the fourth, and that was about it. Andy Dalton, he was 34 of 54, not great, 266, one touchdown. But what really dug the hole for my Cowboys was, you know, two first half turnovers, back-to-back turnovers, fumbles by the star running back that is Ezekiel Elliott. So that, I just did not understand that. Ezekiel Elliott has had a turnover problem this season, and he's got to get it figured out. And this was, again, the first game without Dak Prescott, you know, after his season-ending injury against the New York Giants. So Andy Dalton gets thrown in there, and, you know, not great for him. But, again, when you don't have Dak Prescott, and he was having a career year leading at the time of his injury, before his injury, Dak Prescott, he led the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns. So, you know, that kind of production leaves your team, and then you throw in Andy Dalton. So, ideally, you would like to rely heavily on that run game and Ezekiel Elliott. But if he keeps fumbling the football, it will lead to a loss. And yeah, it was an embarrassment on MNF last night. Prior to that, though, due to COVID-19, the Chiefs and Bills game had to be moved to Monday. And at 5 p.m., we saw the Chiefs and Bills kick off, and the Chiefs won that one, moving to 5-1 on the year, 26-17 the final. The Bills dropped to 4-2. Also, with the Cardinals' win over my Cowboys, they moved to 4-2, and my Cowboys are at 2-4, still atop the NFC East. That is just mind-blowing, right? Okay, the Carolina Panthers have closed their facility after receiving an unconfirmed positive result from their latest round of COVID-19 testing. The team made that announcement yesterday. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that the test is now being rerun to confirm the result. And later Monday, the Panthers placed guard Michael Schofield on the COVID-19/reserve list. Placement on the list doesn't necessarily mean that Schofield tested positive, but that he's potentially been exposed to the coronavirus and has been placed in quarantine. Keep that in mind anytime you see a player on the COVID-19/reserve list. It does not mean that they tested positive, but they may have been exposed in some way. Now, according to the Panthers, players and staff will be working remotely. Well, they did work remotely yesterday, and they will continue to do so today. But they plan to be back to normal by tomorrow on Wednesday. Of course, that depends on the result of that second test. That could change if the test comes back positive, and the training room, which is staying open, will likely be closed immediately. So more COVID-19 problems in the National Football League. All right, a big shout out to Doc Emrick. Longtime NHL announcer Mike Doc Emrick is retiring as a broadcaster. This is what Emmerich told the New York Post. Quote, I hope I can handle retirement okay, especially since I've never done it before. But I've just been extremely lucky for 50 years, and NBC has been so good to me, especially since the pandemic, when I was allowed to work from home in a studio NBC created. Now into my golden years, this just seemed to be the time that was right. Doc Emmerich, it's going to be weird for hockey fans everywhere watching a hockey game on NBC in the coming future and not hearing Doc on the call. Affectionately known as Doc for his doctorate in communications, Emmerich, who is 74 years young, has been the preeminent voice for NHL games on NBC in NBC Sports for 15 years. He served as the play-by-play announcer for the New Jersey Devils for 21 seasons. And I encourage anybody who has not seen the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel piece on Doc Emmerich, when you really get a chance to dive into how he got his start, and you learn of his broadcasting method and how he honed his voice, it is amazing. All right, so in honor of Doc, give that a look. Again, Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, that special profile on Doc Emmerich is golden. And baseball fans, the World Series is tonight. That's right, tonight at 8:11 p.m. on Fox, the Tampa Bay Rays will get it on against the L.A. Dodgers. Got to be good to be an L.A. fan. I mean, you just won the NBA Finals, and now you look forward to the World Series with your Dodgers playing. Pretty amazing stuff. Game one of the World Series, the Dodgers are favored in this game tonight at minus 170. So that game will take place in Arlington, Texas at Globe Life Field. All right? World Series tonight. Exciting stuff. All right, folks, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, this hour, we will be bringing to you the press conference of Mel Tucker. And as I'm sitting here in my dining room recording today's episode, his press conference wrapped up about 15, 20 minutes ago now. He went live at 11 a.m. and spoke to us media members via Zoom. We'll have that press conference for you. Don't go anywhere. A lot of Michigan State football this hour with Mel Tucker. We'll be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and Michigan State football will be opening up its 2020 season this Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium, playing host to Rutgers, in which Michigan State is an 11.5-point favorite in that game. And Mel Tucker, this was his first game week press conference, and there are a few things of note. And pay attention when he talks about the depth chart and whether or not a starting quarterback has been named. He's going to touch upon all of that. He's going to touch upon how his team has been preparing, playing a mock game inside of Spartan Stadium, scrimmaging a couple of times, and what that has been like. And he's going to open up as to what he believes his emotions will be like come Saturday when he walks through that tunnel for the first time as the head coach of Spartan football. Really what he calls a dream come true for him. So that and so many more topics covered here. Here is this week's first ever game week press conference from MSU football coach Mel Tucker.
Just really super excited about this opportunity. Our team has worked really, really hard to prepare for this moment. And we're just excited to be able to finally get a chance to play. I want to really commend our staff, especially our medical staff and our doctors and our head trainer Sally Nogle, and everything that she's done and to help, you know, keep our players safe and as possible during this time, and with all of the safety protocols. And it's been a challenge, but our staff and our players have handled it well. And I'm just really looking forward to representing this great university and Spartan Nation on Saturday. Our fans deserve to see a brand of football that they can that they can believe in and they can be proud of. And we're certainly preparing for a matchup where we'll get a chance to show what we're all about. And so Coach Shiano is he's a good friend of mine, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's an outstanding football coach, a great man, and he's a proven winner. And so I'm really happy to see him back in the Big Ten. And so just shout out to Greg. I know that he worked really hard in preparing his team. So it's going to be an exciting time on Saturday. So with that, I'll open it up for questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach. We'll get things started with Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Hey, Mal, I think the question a lot of people are wondering at this point, and I don't know if you have an answer yet, but have you guys made a choice on the starting quarterback for the opener at least?
Yeah, Matt, thanks for that question. We won't be announcing a quarterback today. There's been fierce competition at so many positions, including quarterback, and so as this week unfolds and a game plan is installed, we'll make a decision and then we'll go play.
Is that something, real quick follow up, where you could see, since a choice hasn't been made, that you could be playing multiple guys in the opener or even into a week or two, I think, as Jay Johnson mentioned, as a possibility?
Yeah, well, we're going to play who gives us the best chance to win. And so, we'll just have to see how this week unfolds. And obviously, the guys that we have are very capable. We're very fortunate to have multiple quarterbacks that we feel like can get the job done.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Next question is from Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Mel, congratulations on this first game coming up. Your social media feed, you talk about eliminating hand smackers, something as subtle as smacking one's hand after a play. How important is that to the new culture at Michigan State?
Yeah, that's just part of our process. And, we're very process driven, and it's your mental disposition towards competing and demeanor and body language and semantic responsibility is all part of the process. And so our philosophy is that you just go on to the next play, regardless of if the previous play was good or bad. You learn from it. You take the information that you got from that play, and then you move on to the next play quickly. We're not going to get too high. We're not going to get too low. We're going to treat every play as though it has a history and a life of its own, not looking at the scoreboard and continue to play the next play. Our players have really bought into that concept and that philosophy, and it really makes a lot of sense. And as a player or a coach, control what you can control. And the most important play is the next play, and they understand that.
Right. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome, Lindsey. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next question is from Justin Rose at WXYZ.
For the last 13 years, people on this Zoom call and fans in this area have seen a particular brand of football. Now that is not led by the same guy anymore. What can people expect? We don't feel like we don't know. We haven't seen you guys out on the field. We haven't been able to come to practice. We haven't been able to share that out. What is your football team going to look like on Saturday?
Yeah, and brand of football is very important, and our fans they expect a certain standard of play, and that's tough, physical, discipline, sense of urgency, attention to detail, very unselfish, guys that are playing for each other, relentless competitors, and playing complementary football. Offense, defense, and special teams working together. We'll all be pulling in the same direction, playing for this great university and all of our fans. We're just very excited for this opportunity.
What is it going to look like as far as if you had to give somebody a quick synopsis of what your offense is going to look like? Are you guys spread them out and throw it? Or are you running up, line it up and run it down the middle? What can we expect to see?
Yeah, we want to be able to run the ball on our terms, which means when we want to run it, we can. And when we have to run it, and everyone in the stadium and everyone on TV knows that we need to run the ball, we can do that too. We want to be able to protect the quarterback, make sure that he has a clean pocket. And he can deliver the ball efficiently and accurately. We want to be versed in all the special situations, red zone, short yarders, goal line, 2 minutes before the half, 2 minutes before the game, third down, and be very efficient. We want to be explosive on offense in the run game and the pass game and be able to get chunks and take care of the football. You know, and the biggest determining factor in winning and losing football games is the turnover margin. So it's all about the ball, the ball, the ball, the ball. Take care of the football, and on defense, we're going to try to take it away. And so, you know, those are the characteristics that we focus on offensively, and our players have bought into that, and we preach those things every day.
Thank you.
Next question is from Stephen Brooks of 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Mel, I hope you're doing well. I want to ask you about the preparation for this game, obviously facing another brand new staff. Obviously last year's Rutgers film, but also maybe things that Greg and some of his coaches have done in the past. How complex or unique is it to prep for?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. And when you go into the first game of the season, you know, you're expecting some unscouted looks. You're not quite sure exactly what you're going to see. We told our players yesterday that this is going to be a rules game where offense, defense, and special teams, you're going to have to apply your rule to what you see on the field. And then we'll have to be able to adapt and adjust during the game, in between plays, in between series. But we've done scouting reports on not just the players, but also the coaching staff and the coordinators. We know where they have been and what they've done. And so we've studied film from those, you know, those places. And so, but, you know, obviously we'll have to see on Saturday, you know, how, what they come out and what they do is just going to be important for us to play our brand of football. You know, it's going to be a lot about what we do and, you know, how we execute our plan, how hard we play, you know, the technique and fundamentals, how smart we play, how fast we play, how physical we play. That's going to be a
next question. We'll go out to Wojo, the Detroit News.
Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Obviously you got a slow start getting to know your team and everything else and installing your system. Now, as the season gets ready to start, is there anything you know for sure about your team? Like, I definitely know this will work. I know this unit is good. Is there anything you know for sure about your team right now?
That's a great question. I know that our guys love to play football. I can tell by the way they behave. And behavior has a lot to do with the results that you get. And our behavior on a day-to-day basis has been outstanding. The guys have bought in to our shift in culture. And we have been able to connect with our players, and they know that we're process driven and they've bought into that process. I know they love the game. I know they're going to play hard. I know it's important to them, you know, and I know they're going to play together. They're going to play for each other. And that's what football is all about. Football is a great game. It's the ultimate team sport. And these guys love being around each other. They love being around our coaches. And they're just really looking forward to today's preparation and the process that we have and getting ready for this game. And then ultimately, you know, being able to display a brand of football that we can all be proud of on Saturday.
Just a quick follow-up. You mentioned embrace the shift in culture. What do you think that entails, shift in culture? Obviously, someone was here for a long time, Mark D'Antonio, 13 years, and new guy. What does that entail, would you say?
Yeah, culture is pretty much how you live day to day, the things that you do on a consistent basis. And so, you know, we have a new coaching staff, and we have a different way of doing some things. And that's part of the culture. You know, how do you live? How do you do what you do? Why do you do it that way? And making sure that everyone understands that and understands why it's important. And so our players have embraced that. And obviously, that's always going to be a challenge. You know, changes can be, you know, uncomfortable. But we've told our players that they have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And so we've done that. And our players have embraced us. We've embraced them. We've connected with our players. We feel very good about our process. And our culture is developing. And I feel really good about the shift that we made in terms of our culture.
This question is from Jack Ebling.
Yeah, Mel, I wanted to check on captains and leadership and where you are with that process. We've seen some Big Ten schools have as many as 7 guys named.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for that question. We're going to have game captains, and so my coaching staff and myself will pick those captains weekly, and then we'll announce them to the team. And then at the end of the season, the players will vote on captains, and then those will be the permanent captains for this particular season. That's how we'll handle the captain situation.
Next question is from Chris Salar, the Detroit Free Press.
Mel, good to see you. First of all, what's your philosophy on depth charts, and do you believe that will you be releasing one this week?
At this point, I don't anticipate releasing a depth chart anytime, you know, early in this week. You know, this is a unique year. As you know, things change daily. And so the emphasis has been with our coaching staff is to develop every player on our roster. And in anticipation of needing everyone at some point in time to be ready to play. And so, you know, our depth chart is more of a rep chart. This is who is going to take the reps first or second, and then not so much a depth chart to set in stone. And so we're trying to develop as many players as we can. A coach's job is to teach, motivate, and develop. And every player on our roster is getting coached hard with attention to detail and a sense of urgency in anticipation of that player ultimately being on the field and playing winning football for us.
As a follow to that, from a schematic standpoint, this is kind of a coach's dream because there's no game film, there's no real idea of just exactly how you're going to use each personnel differently. I mean, is that part of that as well? I mean, how much of this is maybe the one benefit of not having a spring ball or anything else in the last few months?
You know, it really comes down to, football is fundamentally a simple game. It's we have to be best conditioned. We have to put a premium on technique and fundamentals. We have to play smart. We don't beat ourselves. We have to play fast. Players play fastest when they know what to do and how to do it and know why it's important to do it that way. And then the football is a collision sport. We have to be physical. And so regardless of scheme, offense, defense, and special teams, and, you know, whether it's the first game, you got new coaching staff, those are the things that determine what type of success that you have on game day. And so that's where our focus has been.
Thanks, Mel.
You got it.
Next question is from Audrey Dahlgren with WLNS.
Well,
we're
having a great day. I just wanted to, I know you've said over time that you're pretty even keeled. You mentioned that to us. But what is it going to be maybe come Saturday? What kind of emotions are you going to experience as you step out onto the field? I know there might be a little bit more of adrenaline that goes with it. And also, will it re-spark any memories from when you were here last time as a graduate assistant?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I can't help but to smile because this is a dream come true for me to be able to represent this great university and our Spartan Nation as the head football coach. And so I'm really looking forward to it. You know, my demeanor on game day is very similar to what our players, you know, see, you know, every day from me. It's important for me to be consistent. You know, we work with a sense of urgency. You know, we're passionate about what we do, and we love the game. And so, you know, my demeanor will reflect that. You know, obviously I believe in neutral thinking, not to get too high, not to get too low, and just really, you know, take the game, you know, one play at a time and take in information as it comes. And that determines what we need to do next. And so, but, you know, going to Spartan, playing in Spartan Stadium, you know, coaching in Spartan Stadium is special. And I do remember the feeling of, as a graduate assistant, you know, coaching in that stadium. And it's something that, that I've always cherished, and I'm really can't wait to get back out there.
Thank you.
Next question is from Noah Trister with the AP.
Yeah, Coach, how much different does this feel going straight into conference play for the first game?
You know, it's a great opportunity for us. You know, I've never really got caught up into too much into scheduling. You know, who you play and when you play them. You know, I was raised, you know, as a football guy, and I was always taught, you know, when they put the ball down, it's not the ball's time to play, regardless of when or where, and so, you know, we're preparing our players, you know, that way. You know, this situation this year has been a challenge. It's been unusual. It's been unprecedented. But at the end of the day, we're going to have our opportunity to go out there and play. And that's what we all want to do. And so I'm just looking forward to kickoff. We've got a few days left to prepare. And so, you know, we're going to focus on our process, you know, taking it one day at a time, and then we'll let Saturday take care of itself.
Next question is from Rico Cooney with Spartan Magazine.
Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Rico. Thank you.
Talk a little bit about the proclamation of you saying, you know, if you're not being going to be physical, you're not going to get on the field. And Coach Hawk had on Twitter said non-negotiable. In making that proclamation, was that something that you came up with after watching some padded practices and some scrimmages, or was that part of the overall general culture that you want to inject into Michigan State football?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's part of you know, who we are and who we need to be. You know, Michigan State football is physical football. It's representative of our university, of our great fans, and all the our alumni and our players that have played here in the past. It's always about tough, physical, hard-nosed, fundamentally sound, you know, great pad level, flat backs with good hat speed, you know, getting after it, you know, playing through the echo of the whistle and playing for four quarters, 60 minutes in the game as hard as you possibly can, playing for the guy next to you, being relentless, you know, and moving people, you know, against their will on the field, and winning the line of scrimmage, offensive line and defensive line, and just always, you know, being physical, and the name of the game is hit, and that's never going to change. And so, you know, being physical and playing tough, hard nosed football, you know, that's not a new concept for me, and it's not a new concept for Michigan State.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep, thank you.
We have time for a few more. I'm going to try to get to everybody here for their first question. We're going to go to Jim Comperoni with Spartan Magazine.
Hey, Mel, how has the offensive line come along without Jordan Reed at right tackle? And can you discuss the competition going on inside at the offensive guard positions?
Yeah, Coach Kapilovic has done an outstanding job with our offensive line. He's one of the great coaching minds in this profession, one of the great offensive line coaches, and the best or one of the best offensive line coaches that I've ever been around. And so, and he sees the game the same way that I see the game. It's, you know, it's about being physical. It's about playing with great technique and fundamentals. you know, having a mental disposition of you know, moving people against their will and understanding that you have to win a line of scrimmage. And so we've had competition, you know, at the tackle spot. We've had competition inside, and we're developing depth because we're going to need as many guys ready to play as possible. But, you know, I feel really good about our preparation. I feel great about what Coach Kapp has done with those guys. And I've seen steady improvement from that unit. And I'm just looking forward to a great week of practice and preparation, you know, from that group and the entire team. You know, we have to get better each and every day. And we have to use these practice opportunities and these meeting opportunities. We have to be efficient, and we have to make the most of, you know, every minute of every day that we get a chance to prepare, whether it's in the meeting room, and on the field, rest and recovery. You know, we've got to work to get better, and that's our attitude, that's our culture, in the offensive line and across this team.
All right, and one follow up quickly, please, if I may. Rocky Lombardi, in what ways have you seen him improve compared to last year's film or maybe early on in practice? And what have Peyton Thorne and Theo Day done well to challenge him in that competition?
You know, those guys are a really good group of guys. And, you know, Noah Kim has done a nice job for us. He's got a lot of talent. And, you know, Jay Johnson, is a veteran, offensive coordinator, a veteran play caller, a veteran quarterbacks coach, played the position himself. And just for Rocky, you know, Peyton, Theo, and Noah, those guys, the most important thing was really to connect with Jay and understand his process, you know, understand, you know, how he sees that position being played, and then learning the scheme. And so that's where those guys have grown. You know, they've connected with Jay. They have a lot of respect for Jay. Jay has a lot of respect for them. They work well as a unit. They help each other. And I've seen a steady improvement from that group. And so, you know, and that's what you want to see at that position. You want to see guys that are team guys, that have leadership ability, that are not afraid to take charge. And I've seen that in all of those guys. And I believe that your quarterback has to be your number one competitor on your team, college or pro. And so we have the competitive nature and the mental disposition in that room to be able to get the job done. So I feel really good about what Jay has done and what he's going to continue to do and how those guys are going to continue to develop under him.
All right, we'll have more with Mel Tucker in just a moment, but we got to hit this second break. When we come back, Mel will put a bow on this very first game week press conference for him. Again, Michigan State and Rutgers this Saturday afternoon. Exciting stuff. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. And again, I've been rolling in the press conference from this morning from Michigan State first-year head coach Mel Tucker as Michigan State prepares to take on Rutgers this Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Now, he's already touched upon a few different things. He's talked about how he has not named a starting quarterback just yet. And, you know, you can read into that, you know, and as much as you want to. But for me, I think, you know, it's already game week now. I think Mel Tucker has already named a quarterback. He just doesn't want to put that out there to the press, to the public, so we can start, you know, diving into, okay, what this means. And he doesn't want to give, you know, Rutgers any kind of leg up. You know, he wants to kind of keep that car close to the vest. But I think Rocky Lombardi is going to be and has already been named your starting quarterback. Again, this is pure speculation on my part, but I think he has already been named as the starting quarterback
and is getting reps with the ones. When it comes to other, you know, roster questions, when it comes to a depth chart, Mel Tucker is also playing that card very close to the vest. We don't have any information as to any starters right now. We don't know anything. And I think also another layer we got to keep in consideration is that, you know, with the COVID-19 protocols here, I mean, you have to, you know, test negative throughout the week leading up to game day if you want to play. So many things could change. So what if you put out a depth chart and you name some starters and all of a sudden a few of those starters test positive? Okay, then you're scrambling and it then becomes this very public scramble. As us media members, fans alike are speculating, okay, now who moves up in the depth chart and who should move up in the depth chart? You just don't want to create that conversation, keep everything private, and just get ready for game day and adjust as needed based on what you get when it comes to the results of COVID-19 testing for your team, all right? So here's the rest of it, though. Here is Mel Tucker further elaborating on the preparation for the Spartans come game one against Rutgers this weekend.
Yeah, Sparta Stadium is special. And even though we won't have our fans in the stadium, certainly their passion and their energy and their desire and their pride in this football team and this university, we're going to feel that on Saturday. When we step on that field, we're going to feel our fans. We're going to feel that pride. We're going to feel that energy. And you know what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to take we're going to take it from the practice field, you know, to the game field. We have tremendous energy in our practices. You know, we generate our own momentum, and everyone is into it. Everyone's up and ready to go. Chin straps buckled, mouthpieces in, you know, on the ready. When these guys' numbers are called, you know, they go in and they give it everything they've got, 100% every time. And if they don't, you know, it's our job to coach them through that and get the best out of them. That's what we're gonna take into the stadium. Just take it from the practice and take it right to the game.
Oh, we got time for two more. We'll go to Chris Lahr of the Detroit Free Press. We'll wrap it up with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. Chris.
Mel, I kind of wanted to touch base with you on the defensive side a little bit. First of all, do you have an idea of where you want to go at middle linebacker? And as kind of a follow with that, can you maybe address the situation with Luke and Charles?
Yeah, we released a statement about Luke and Charles. They've been suspended from the team. We acted quickly and decisively about that. You know, we have multiple guys at the linebacker position that can play for us. And so we're trying to get as many guys ready to play as we can. And so and they all know that we have multiple guys taking reps. We have guys that can play multiple positions, multiple linebacker positions. We feel like it's a group that is ready to lead and can make the calls and get lined up and, you know, run and hit and make plays. And so it's a really good group to be around. They're fun to coach. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys progress and seeing how they improve this week. And then we'll take it to Saturday.
All right, folks, that is going to do it. On tomorrow's Current Sports, I am going to give further thoughts on what Mel Tucker had to say this morning. And, I'll give some hardcore predictions, not on just the game against Rutgers, but on the season and what we can expect to see from Michigan State football. Because when listening to Mel Tucker in that press conference, he didn't give you a lot, did he? He didn't give you a lot. You know, what's the offense going to look like? Is it going to look different from what we saw during the Mark D'Antonio years? He did not give you a lot. You know, he just said basically it's going to be physical. You know, we're going to be a physical team. We're going to run the ball well. You know, it kind of reminds you of what Mark D'Antonio said during his time in East Lansing, right?
But I got a different take on it. We'll get to that and so much more on the Hump Day edition of the show. You don't want to miss that. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. We'll see you on Wednesday. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.